Welcome to the Houston Personal Injury Lawyer Podcast with attorney R.J. Alexander, sponsored by R.J. Alexander Law, PLLC, the small law firm of Big Solutions, headquartered in Houston, Texas. This show discusses Texas personal injury law and the effects that it can have on an injury victim, what you should do if you are injured by the negligence, carelessness, or intentional wrongdoing of another person or entity, and how you can best assist your attorney in winning your case. This podcast does not create an attorney-client privilege, and in the event that you are injured, you should contact the firm directly. This podcast is not a substitute for direct legal advice. It is purely informational. Good morning, Houston. This is another beautiful day, and we are starting a new podcast today here at For the Plaintiff with Rashard Alexander from R.J. Alexander Law, PLLC, helping heal Houston one case at a time. We are a personal injury law firm located here in Houston, Texas. We also handle immigration and custom money seizure matters, but we are first and foremost a personal injury trial law firm. Here today, we're going to talk about the fundamentals of personal injury protection. But before we get into that, there were a series of serious car accidents, daily, in fact, over the weekend here in Houston, Texas, where both of the accidents involved two drunk drivers. So we want to send condolences out and thoughts and prayers to the families of the victims in those car wrecks. What essentially happened is that you had a drunk driver cause an accident in the middle of FM 1960, I believe, in Aldine, Westfield. And while the tow truck companies were out, working on that wreck, another drunk driver careened into those out there working, and at least one person was killed and at least four others were injured. So it looked really bad on the news, and I thought that we should shine a light on the fact that people, we don't need to drink and drive out here. If you can't party at home, or if you can't get an Uber or a Lyft or a designated driver, I mean, just don't get on the road and sleep it off at the bar. I mean, ask anyone to give you a ride home or whatever you have to do, but it is not worth it putting your life at risk and someone else's simply because, you know, you've had too much to drink and now you want to get behind a vehicle that can take your life and not in a pleasant way either. So let's just think about that going forward. But anyways, today's podcast is about the fundamentals of personal injury protection. It's commonly known as PIP. Personal injury protection usually runs the gamut. I mean, the cost of personal injury protection, you know, it varies from insurance company to insurance company. It's something that everyone should have on their policy, simply because what it does is it covers 80% of lost income, employment income, and any medically necessary medical services, including funeral services. So usually when you're talking about personal injury protection, you're talking about someone having about $2,500 on their insurance policy. Now, how you can check right now to see if you have PIP or personal injury protection on your policy is you can go to what's called your declarations page or your deck sheet. And then that declarations page, it will tell you all the different types of policies or endorsements you have on your insurance at the time. Now, it doesn't really matter who's at fault. It is an insurance that you buy for yourself in the event that you're involved in a car wreck with someone. And the thing about it is a lot of people will use that money to help them survive while they're dealing with their car wreck claim or whatever have you. Because like I told you before, it will cover necessary medical services, surgeries, x-rays, and the like, but it will also cover funeral services, nursing home health care services, and it will compensate you for 80% of your lost income. So let's say, you know, you basically make roughly $5,000 before taxes a month. That comes out to, I believe, about $60,000. I'm doing the math off the top of my head, so I'm assuming it's $60,000. Well, if you're looking at your lost income monthly, the amount you lost, that $5,000, you would be compensated for $4,000 of that if you had a PIP policy that was more than $2,500. Some people have them for $5,000. You can actually have a PIP policy for much more than that. USAA tends to write higher PIP policies for people all the time. So that may be an insurance company to look at if you're considering upping your PIP insurance. So, as I said before, covered medical services that are necessary is usually $2,500, the amount that most people will request for their policy, and it should be on your deck page. Now, like I said before, also is that if you're employed at the time of the wreck, personal injury protection will pay 80% of your lost income, but the insurance company will require some type of proof of income. That they're not just going to just give you the money. You're going to have to get your attorney to get in contact with the insurance company, and you'll need to provide your lawyer with proof of income, whether that's going to be past check stubs or last year's W-2s, just to show how much money you've really been making this entire time. Now, the thing about personal injury protection is that it can be combined with multiple policies. So it's not an exclusive item. It's more like a complementary item. So, if you have collision coverage and you have PIP, the thing about it is you should be able to get that PIP money from your insurance company within 30 days. That's usually how long it takes. Really, what a lot of people don't understand or know is that if your attorney fills out the application with you, if they fill out the application with you regarding the PIP, the insurance company must pay that within 30 days of satisfactory proof. Now, satisfactory proof is basically, like I said before, you filling out that application, you giving them the required proof of income, and showing that you are entitled to this. And that you can find the law for it, you can find under insurance code 156. And so if they fail to pay, there are penalties under the insurance code as well. And those penalties are a 12% penalty of whatever money you were entitled to, interest that will grow on that money that you're entitled to as well, and the attorney's fees that it require for you to secure your money. Most insurance companies don't want to have to deal with all that. If they find out that you do have a claim and it is meritorious, they're more than likely going to just go ahead and pay that $2,500 or $5,000 or whatever it is. So that's just something to file away if you are dealing with an insurance company who just completely is out of their mind and doesn't want to take care of their own client. Because like I said before, the thing about PIP is that it's going to be something usually that the driver or the insured person is receiving from their own insurance company. Now, another thing to understand too is that if you're a passenger in a vehicle and the owner of the car who's insuring the car has PIP coverage on the car, not only will the driver be entitled to PIP, but you as the passenger may also be entitled to a PIP amount or PIP coverage as well. And it doesn't take away from the drivers. So like, let's say I have a car accident right now where there are four ladies who were injured in a car accident, and the PIP coverage for each person was $5,000. Well, that's 5, 5, 5, and 5. That's $20,000 right there in PIP coverage, but they're all separate. So it's 5, 5, 5, and 5. Everyone has their own PIP coverage claim. Not necessarily everyone will get $5,000 with a PIP coverage, but it's there and available if you can prove it up. So if you get into a car wreck, how can you process your PIP claim faster? Because that's what that's what everyone really wants to know, is what can you do when you're involved in a car wreck to help your claim move along as fast as possible? And the thing about PIP coverage is the main way to make your claim move along faster is when you get in that car accident, and even if you haven't talked or spoken to an attorney yet, you need to gather up all your medical related bills, co-payments, receipts, anything that shows that you've been spending money to take care of your injuries. You also need to get your W-2 or your tax stubs or whatever have you that's going to prove your lost income. And you need to take that to your attorney the day that you go in for the consultation. That way they can go ahead and request the application for PIP. It may take a few days to get there. It may not take that long at all, actually. They may be able just to email it, the application to your lawyer. But they'll need to fill that out. You'll have to sign it as well. So that may take an extra day if you need to sign it and you aren't, you know, watching your email or whatever have you. But you need to go ahead and gather all that material. Like I said, because what's going to happen is the insurance company has basically 30 days to pay it out. So it's going to take possibly 30 days for you to receive all that. Additionally, what's going to have to happen is that check is going to have to be signed by you and then put into your attorney's trust account, which they'll have to pay you out of. So, you know, as I said before, it's going to take about 30 days and you need to be aware of all that. Now, the other thing is that, you know, and kind of an exception to the rule is that some people may have medical payments coverage instead of personal injury protection. And I'm not going to go too deeply into medical payments coverage, but medical payments coverage is exactly just what it sounds like. It pays medical bills, but it doesn't pay lost income. So that's the difference between that and PIP. Medical payments coverage covers medical bills, and that's it. Whereas PIP will cover medical bills and 80% of your lost income. Now, if you have medical payments coverage in place of PIP, what will likely happen is that what you gotta do is you gotta be careful regardless when you're dealing with providers and you're talking about your personal injury protection, because obviously you see you have a situation there where either your medical bills can be getting paid with that money, or you can be basically trying to sustain yourself off that PIP coverage because you don't have you're not working. So if you aren't careful and you go into a provider before dealing with a lawyer, what may happen is that when a chiropractor or anyone basically hears that, oh, you have PIP coverage, they're going to go ahead and have you sign an assignment and a release, basically saying that they're going to submit that bill directly to the insurance company and they're going to bill the maximum amount of money, and you're going to be completely left in the dust when it comes to getting some money from that PIP coverage. So you need to get an attorney who understands car accident law, who understands these things before trying to handle them yourself, because you're probably going to mess it up for yourself when it comes to making sure you maximize your financial compensation. I think that's about it. You know, like I hope everybody has a great day. This is Rashard Alexander from RJ Alexander Law PLLC, helping Hill Houston one case at a time. And this is the Four Plaintiff Podcast, and we just discussed fundamentals of personal injury protection. I hope you guys have a great day. I'm going to get out here and work. You know, I got a couple of cases coming up, and I'm pretty excited about it. Have a great day. Thank you for tuning in to the Houston Personal Injury Lawyer Podcast with attorney RJ Alexander, sponsored by RJ Alexander Law, PLLC, the small law firm with big solutions, headquartered in Houston, Texas.